الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستهديه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولله على الناس حج البيت من استطاع إليه سبيلا ومن كفر فإن الله غني عن العالمين وقال الله جل وعلا وأذن في الناس بالحج يأتوك رجالا وعلى كل ضامر يأتين من كل فج عميق ليشهدوا منافع لهم ويذكروا اسم الله في أيام معلومات على ما رزقهم من بهيمة الأنعام فكلوا منها وأطعموا البائس الفقير صدق الله العظيم وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الحج المبرور ليس له جزاء إلا الجنة صدق الله العظيم My dear respected elders, friends, brothers in Islam, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته All praises are due to Allah alone that Allah has shown us this opportunity once again. If we remember, brothers, that right at the beginning of the month of Rajab, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught this ummah a dua. Allahumma barik lana fi Rajab wa Sha'ban wa ballighna Ramadan. Ya Allah, bless us in Rajab, bless us in Sha'ban, and take me into Ramadan. The first thing, brothers, is that in this dua, Rasulullah says, Allahumma barik, that, O Allah, bless us. The general mindset of man is barakah is associated with wealth and materialism. Whereas, in the context of nubuwat and prophethood, barakah refers to abundant acts of righteousness, kathratu ta'at. So, O Allah, bless me in Rajab, bless me in Sha'ban, take me into Ramadan also. And then we see in his lifestyle, he already set the tone, the ball was rolling. Rajab, there was an increase, Sha'ban even more. Then come the month of Ramadan, MashaAllah, he exerted himself, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Ramadan is divided into three asharas. The last 10, my brothers, we know that this is a time when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy knows no bounds. It comes down in torrents beyond imagination. Thus we have the concept of i'tikaf. Thus we have the concept of Laylatul Qadr. And the narrations mention that the Prophet ﷺ never slept at all in these last 10 days. Through the night he never slept, he would rest during the day. Then my brothers, comes the first of Shawwal, the day of Eid, the ayat which we always hear in the khutbah of Eid, that قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى وَذَكَرَ اسْمَ رَبِّهِ فَصَلَّى That who's passed the test of Ramadan? The one who has attained that tazakki, inner purity. The one who's cleansed himself. He's cleared his relationship between him and Allah. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى وَذَكَرَ اسْمَ رَبِّهِ And then they take the name of Allah referring to the takbiratu tashriq. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, wa lillahi alhamd. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordained the Eid Salah, wajib, with six additional takbirs. I just want to slightly digress off my topic. Every day in every salah we say Allahu Akbar. Do we know the value and the greatness of this utterance? Once Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked Sahaba ikram that do any of you carry out an action equal to Mount Uhud? We've seen what a powerful, humongous mountain is Mount Uhud. Imagine Mount Uhud being in a person's mizan on the day of Qiyamah. So they dropped their hands and said, O Prophet of Allah, whoever has such an ability? He said, every one of you. Every single one of you. And then he said, Subhanallah, a'azamu min Uhud. Alhamdulillah, a'azamu min Uhud. Allahu Akbar, a'azamu min Uhud. Each one of these utterances respectively is more powerful than Uhud. So every time, my brothers, we say Allahu Akbar. This narration was in a general context, outside Salah, taking the name of Allah, saying Allahu Akbar. In Salah, my brothers, the reward will be unimaginable. So, وَذَكَرَ اسْمَ رَبِّهِ فَصَلَّى. In the follow-up verse, Allah says, بَلْ تُؤْثِرُونَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا. Now came the day of Eid, Shawwal is here. Why do you give preference to the worldly life? وَالْآخِرَةُ خَيْرُ وَأَبْقَى. Akhirat is far better and ever eternal. Akhirat is far better and ever eternal. Why do you lose your bearings? The goal is akhirah. The ultimate goal is the afterlife. So, coming back to our discussion. Allahumma barik lana fi Rajab wa Shaban wa ballighna Ramadan. Now it's the first of Shawwal. Shawwal, Dhulqa'dah, Dhulhijjah. These are the days of Hajj. What do the ulama say? Rajab, Shaban, Ramadan, Shawwal, Dhulqa'dah, Dhulhijjah. Allah's mercy knows no bounds. With so much of opportunity, however can man ever lose his way? This is the message from the side of Allah. I'm giving you high season, more and more. So this was known, my brothers, as the Mausim. Mausim, in Arabic it means the season of Hajj, mashallah. In nowadays time, mashallah, a person within the day is there. But back in the days, the journey was an arduous one. It was a lengthy journey. Even the elders will tell us how long it took. So, the narration of Bukhari, Abdullah bin Umar narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Buni al-Islamu ala khams. Islam is based upon these fundamentals. This is something that we learn, mashallah, in the maktab days. Shahadati Allah ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Wa iqami salah wa ita'i zakah wa sawmi ramadan wa hajjillahi al-bayt liman istata'a ilayhi sabila. So our shahada, our tawheed, belief in the oneness of Allah, risala, our allegiance to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, salah, fasting, zakah, hajj. Each one of them an independent discussion. But today we're going to be speaking about the mausim, hajj. So each one is the great command of Allah, therefore it holds the position of being fard. It is obligatory. Now we know that you have classification. Something is fard, something is wajib, something is sunnah, something is mustahab, something is nafl. But when something holds the position of being fard, then it shows how emphasized it is by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Greatly emphasized. Very, very greatly emphasized. Many, many ayat of the Quran and hundreds of narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam speak about this. That's why it's known as a journey of a lifetime. So Allah says, وَلِلَّهِ عَلَى النَّاسِ حِجُّ الْبَيْتِ مَنِ اسْتَطَاعَ إِلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا. For Allah, this journey is for Allah alone. عَلَى النَّاسِ, Allah has placed it upon us as a responsibility, something which is obligatory, something which is mandatory, which has to be fulfilled. Man istata'a ilayhi sabila, for the person who possesses the means. My brothers, the hadith tells us that man arad al-hajj falyata'ajjal. If a person has the intention, then we should be hastening. Prophet ﷺ said, don't waste time, don't dilly-dally. Many a times, my brothers, a person has the means, but time is going, and the person is not giving due importance to this, something which is fard from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And on this discussion over here, the ulama have mentioned that sometimes even woman folk possess the means, and a husband, he's wasting time, dilly-dallying. The jurist mentioned, my brothers, that in this instance, Hajj will still be fard upon her. She must find some other mahram and go and fulfill this obligation. Man arad al-hajj falyata'ajjal. So, my brothers, this is a most beautiful journey, the journey of a lifetime, which people remember for their entire lives. People never ever forget it. A person, his entire life, now we are going to read Salah. Our entire lives we face towards the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Baytullah. The ayat of the Quran, Allah says, Inna awwala bayt, the first house. This word bayt, my brothers, has deeper meaning in it. The bayt of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah says, وُضِعَ لِلنَّاسِ, it was laid down for people. Why didn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say that it was constructed? Because this was something which was constructed by the malaika. Allah ta'ala's celestial creation, وُضِعَ لِلنَّاسِ لَلَّذِي بِبَكَّكَنْ وَهُدًى لِلْعَالَمِينَ. It is for barakah and it is for hidayah. For barakah, my brothers. Abundant acts of obedience. But yes, the extended meaning is there. The blessings of the world as well will be procured. And hidayat. What is hidayat, my brothers? Hidayat is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give a person the ability to discern the distinguishing line clearly. That what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala want from me? So, إِنَّ أَوَّلَ بَيْتِ وُضِعَ لِلنَّاسِ لَلَّذِي بِبَكَّةَ مُبَارَكَ وَهُدًى لِلْعَالَمِينَ. So, initially it was constructed by the angels, then Nabi Adam alayhi salam, then Nabi Nuh alayhi salam. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the time of Ibrahim alayhi salam, وَإِذْ بَوَّأْنَا لِإِبْرَاهِيمَ مَكَانَ الْبَيْتِ. So, the structure had fallen down, and he didn't know exactly the exact demarcation of the Kaaba. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Jibreel alayhi salam to show it to him. وَإِذْ بَوَّأْنَا لِإِبْرَاهِيمَ مَكَانَ الْبَيْتِ أَلَّا تُشْرِكْ بِي شَيْئًا وَطَهِّرْ بَيْتِيَ لِلطَّائِفِينَ وَالْقَائِمِينَ وَالرُّكَّعِ السُّجُودِ. Clean up my house from all forms of shirk and establish it for those who will come and stand before it, facing it, reading salah towards it. For those who will bow, for those who will prostrate, and those who will make tawaf around it. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Ibrahim alayhi salam this command, then he says that, oh Allah, I'm here alone. How is this pukar, how is this voice going to reach the entire mankind? Allah ta'ala tells him that, oh Ibrahim, you make the call. Inna Allah qad farada alaykumul hajj fahujju. You stand, I will convey the call. And every person for whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordained it, that number of times a person said labbaik. That person who will go once said labbaik once. The one who will go twice, twice, thrice, thrice. 20 times, 20 times. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وأذن في الناس بالحج يأتوك رجالا وعلى كل ضامر يأتين من كل فج عميق. People will come رجالا walking. People will come walking. Allahu Akbar. We've heard reports, my brothers, of people traveling thousands of miles to reach the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I read a report of a person who went walking for Hajj from Pakistan. Here in South Africa, one person using a bicycle went. يَأْتُوكَ رِجَالًا وَعَلَى كُلِّ ضَامِرٍ. On every lean camel, meaning that a person, he will go through all the difficulties and atrocities just to reach there. You know, so as to say a person, he'll be moving slowly, slowly with his jalopy, but he has to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's house. He has a goal. I have to reach there. Jin amiq, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says from every low. What the ulama say? That the highest and the greatest is Allah's house. Everything in relation, it is down and it is insignificant. Every single salah, we face towards the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, there's an incident about one of the great ulama of Mauritania. He passed away now in 2018. But he was one of the great ulama of the time. Now imagine a person every day, we're standing and we're facing Allah's house. So one day he was reading salah, and somebody came and turned him in the salah. Meaning that, I'm from this locality, I know the exact direction. It wasn't the masjid side of the road. They were traveling. So the sheikh goes back to his original direction, according to his discretion. Then this person turns him again. And this goes on a few times. So at the end of the salah, when the sheikh makes salam, so the local brother is asking him, sheikh, I'm from this area, I'm facing you towards the Qibla, why are you turning away? He says, from here where I'm standing, I can see the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mauritania to Makkah Mukarrama. Subhanallah. My brothers, journey of a lifetime, the best memories of a person's life, and the journey of dua and supplication. Nowadays, more and more brothers we see that people are speaking about dua. You know, especially on their phones, people are passing on duas and so on. Why? Because dua is the connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When a person makes dua, the ulama state, this is one of the greatest means of a person showing his connection with Allah and his allegiance with Allah. Because he's saying, oh Allah, you are the only one who can fulfill my need. Every time he says, Ya Allah, Ya Rabb, oh my beloved Allah, his Allah can fulfill his need. Now it's the time in Madina Munawwara, Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He says, oh Prophet of Allah, I want to go for Umrah. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, imagine, the Nabi of Allah is telling the Ummati, that, oh Umar, don't forget me in your du'as. This is not Hajj, this is what is known as the smaller Hajj. Umar, don't forget me in your du'as. Because the place you're going to is a place of du'a and supplication. Makkah, Allah takes qasam, لا أقسم بهذا البلد والتين والزيتون وطور سينين وهذا البلد الأمين. 40 years prior to Nubuwat, 13 years into Nubuwat, Rasulullah SAW lives his life. They say that the haram is a place where a person's du'as are accepted. The mataf, where every Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after making effort in the various parts of the world, would go and make dua that, oh Allah, accept my work, accept my effort, and guide my people. The place where the Anbiya place their footsteps. Every part, the Mas'a, the place between, Safa and Marwa, the Multazam, the Hatim, the entire Makkah, is a place where a person's du'as are accepted. Alhamdulillah, once when we went, we did a walking ziyarat with an alim. So he took us to one place outside the haram, and then he just stopped walking. So he showed us that, you know, this is the spot where Rasulullah's house was. And this is the place where Jibreel alayhi salam came with wahi 400 times to Rasulullah. The haram, the Kaaba, even the skies of Makkah are blessed, my brothers. MashaAllah. Then my brothers, labbaik, Allahumma labbaik, labbaik la sharika laka labbaik, innal hamda wal ni'mata laka wal mulk, la sharika lak. The chant. What does labbaik mean, my brothers? Labbaik means that, oh Allah, I am present at your beck and call. For everything in my life, in every regard, at every moment, oh Allah, I am present. So yes, it's the chant of the Hujjaj. But my brothers, by extension, where is my labbaik? Labbaik, insofar as my Fajr Salah, insofar as my business, my character. Oh Allah, I am present at your beck and call. So labbaik, Allahumma labbaik. So first thing is, oh Allah, I'm hazir, I'm present. Second, la sharika laka labbaik. The call for what, my brothers? Towards pure oneness, pure monotheism. 100% affirming Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's oneness. La sharika laka labbaik. And then there is affirmation of three things. One is hamd. Innal hamda laka wal mulk. That, oh Allah, every praise, every bounty, and all sovereignty belongs only to you, oh Allah. Innal hamda wal ni'mata laka wal mulk. Every praise from every tongue, from ever before, forever after, belongs only to Allah. Same with ni'mah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's bounty, Allah ta'ala's favor. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sovereignty over everything and over everyone, all belongs to Allah alone. It comes in the narrations, my brothers. Nabi Musa alayhi salam, when he used to make tawaf and he used to read labbaik, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used to reply to him, labbaik ya Musa. He was kalimullah. He could converse with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly. And that's why the hadith mentions that any person, any Muslim who says talbiyah, everything to his right, to his left, whether it be a stone, a tree, anything whatsoever, everything replies to this labbaik and it continues right up to the end of the earth. Subhanallah. My brothers, the ayat of Surah Yasin, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, Alam a'had ilaykum ya bani Adam alla ta'budu shaitan. O Banu Adam, did I not take a pledge from you that you will never worship shaitan? Innahu lakum aduwwun mubin. He's your open enemy. Wa ani'buduni hadha siratun mustaqim. Worship me. That's the correct way. That's the straight way. But insan is weak. So shaitan, my brothers, you know, the seesaw continues up and down. When the Hujjaj, my brothers, when they proceed to Makkah, and then it's the day of Arafah, the 9th of Dhul-Hijjah. Now my brothers, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam says that shaitan, all his efforts are broken. Everything, my brothers, goes to waste. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, مَا رُؤِيَ الشَّيْطَانِ يَوْمًا هُوَ فِي أَصْغَرْ وَلَا أَدْحَرْ وَلَا أَحْقَرْ وَلَا أَغْيَضْ. Shaitan, my brothers, he becomes totally depressed, humiliated, infuriated, rejected. Why? Because this water is thrown over all his efforts. That's why, my brothers, it is mentioned that some of the Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum, when the Hujjaj used to return, they used to go very quickly to meet them. The hadith tells us even before they enter their homes. Why? Because now they are totally maghfoor lahu. Every one of their sins are forgiven. Every one of their sins are forgiven. And they return, my brothers, like the day their mothers have given birth to them. Another aspect, my brothers, with regards to this journey of Hajj, mashallah, is the Zamzam. You know, everybody knows about it. Even the non-Muslims, everybody speak about the holy water, mashallah. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam referred to this as Ma'ul Barakah. This is water of blessings. On one occasion, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he went to the well of Zamzam. He drew water. Some narrations mention that he got some of the Sahaba Ikram to draw it. Then he drank from it. After this, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, into that bucket, he returned some of the water. And it was thrown back into the well. The ulama mentioned that Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did this so that the blessings of Zamzam as well as his blessings will continue for the ummah right till the day of Qiyamah. MashaAllah. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Ma'u Zamzam lima shuribala. With whatever intention a person will drink it, that's the benefit a person will get. So Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he used to drink, he used to make this niyat that, O Allah, you save me from the thirst of the day of Qiyamah. Save me from thirst on Qiyamah. The ulama mentioned that it will quench a person's thirst, but it is nutrition also. Abu Dharr radiallahu ta'ala anhu is a very prominent sahabi. So once he says he came to Makkah Mukarramah with no provision. And he ended up staying there for an entire month. And in that entire month, he consumed nothing but Zamzam. He says, let alone me surviving, my stomach actually began coming out. So my respected elders and friends, this is the great fariḍah, that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordained upon us, of Hajj, of going to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ulama say, my brothers, yes, you know that the cost of it is astronomical. But remember, my brothers, that the effort towards it is spiritual. There are many, my brothers, who possess abundant means, but don't reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's house. And contrary to that, there are many, my brothers, who possess very little means. You see, people with no possessions, no baggage also, but they reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which the ayat of the Quran speaks about, يَأْتُونَ رِجَالًا وَعَلَى كُلِّ ضَامِرٍ يَأْتِينَ مِنْ كُلِّ فَجٍ عَمِيقٍ لِيَشْهَدُوا مَنَافِعَ لَهُمْ. They are there to come and witness all the benefits which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept. That's why Allah ta'ala says that جَعَلَ اللَّهُ الْكَعْبَةَ الْبَيْتَ الْحَرَامِ قِيَامًا لِلنَّاسِ. Allah ta'ala gave us His house for what? For the existence of man. So we make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses one and all. Those who haven't been, Allah ta'ala take them. Those who have been, inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take us over and over again. And my brothers, one is the major hajj, and the minor hajj is to go for umrah and to visit Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is only one part of the discussion. The other part of the Madinah Munawwara. But inshallah, on another occasion, wa akhiru da'wana, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.